irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'd like to welcome you to the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration, add some positivity into your lifestyle, maybe change the way you think. Shit, maybe you could change the way we think. What's up, guys? I'm your host, Davey. Once again, Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com. We have dedicated ourselves every Sunday to raising your vibration. What do we mean by that? Well, each and every single moment of your life, you have a choice to think whatever it is that you pivot yourself towards. And this show advocates thinking in a little bit more positive of a way so you can yield greater results in your life. What's up? You've just tuned in. I'm your host, Davey. We have a very special show lined up for you guys today. As you know, we like to bring very inspiring people in to the show with us, let it be in the studio or a call-in, and we like to have people spread their knowledge and the studies that they have dedicated their lives to help you raise your vibration as well here on the Vibration Station. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Michelle. How you doing today, Doc?
It's great. I'm doing great, Davey. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I always have a great time with you.
Well, I have such a great time when you come on the show because you're so wise. You have so much valuable knowledge and super great information. So it is always such a blessing to have you on the show. Listeners, make sure to check out Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11 on LATalkRadio.com, channel 1. You can't miss her on the couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11. And make sure.
Yes.
Don't miss it. It's good stuff. So,
good stuff.
Doc, I was talking to you last week, and I said I'd love it if you came on the show. Let's brainstorm. And we were talking. We were just talking about books, you know, that have been inspiring to us, and certain books that we're reading, or you just. We were talking about, you know. Getting knowledge from books. And I brought up the fact that I'm currently reading Ask and It Is Given by Esther Esther and Jerry Hicks, The Teachings of Abraham, right? So this is it was actually forewarded by Dr. Wayne Dyer, He recently
passed away, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He recently just transcended into the non-physical plane. So he's still with us, just in a different form. So that's really cool. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to dedicate this Sunday to, you know, the teachings of Dr. Wayne Dyer as well.
Yes.
Because he has given this world a lot of extremely valuable information, and you know, it would be wrong of me not to honor some of his work. So I brought, ironically enough, Ask and It Is Given, who's Learning to Manifest Your Dreams by Esther and Jerry Hicks, The Teachings of Abraham, forward by Dr. Wayne Dyer. So we're gonna talk about a couple points in this book. But Doc, when I told you I was reading this, you brought up a great point. You said, Dave, that's awesome. You said, I have a question for you. And then this kind of led us into today's topic. But you said, you know, Dave, you talk about, and not to mention the title of the book is Learning to Manifest Your Desires. Asking Is Given, Learning to Manifest Your Desires. So, Doc, you said to me, you said, Dave, in your perception, where would you draw the line between being fully responsible for everything that comes into your life, all the actions that you take and the results that that yields to you, or even the thoughts that you think and therefore the vibrational results that that yields to you, versus letting go and letting God, versus just giving up and letting the higher source power, which we all are, right? Extensions of, take control, you know, kind of be in the driver's seat, if you will. So you asked me that, and it's a great question, and it got me thinking, because I can speak from personal experience. You know, there's been a lot of things in my life lately that have just all of a sudden happened, where I've had to reach outside of myself, outside of the self that I am aware of 99.9% of the time, and ask, you know, something, whatever it might be, higher self, you know, that's what I just call it, higher self. You know, I ask higher self for guidance, so that's kind of letting go and letting God, right? So you brought me into a really awesome state of thinking, and I was thinking to myself, what does determine that line? Is there a line, or is it just that, you know, we are all extensions of source, of creation, and, you know, depending on how aligned we are with that higher self, you know, could be the determining factor of what we experience, or maybe we're, I don't know. What do you think, Doc?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I, you know, you and I did have a cool talk about it earlier, and I think that we do have to let go and let God to a certain extent, or let the universe, if you're, you know, an atheist or an agnostic, whatever, you're not of a religious orientation. But I think we all have to realize that there are certain things, you know, beyond our control. And that's many times dealing with what happens to other people.
Right.
Of course, we worry about other people we love and care for, and if bad things happen to them, we can try to love them and help them as much as we can. But we have to allow ourselves to sometimes let go and take care of our brains so we're not fanatically worried about things,
right,
about them. But we also can pray, if you're so inclined. We can also meditate on seeing people who are in bad situations outside of us, or situations, you have a horrible boss, let's say, and he's mean and nasty, and you try your hardest and you don't feel, a lot of people tell me they don't feel good enough about themselves in the workplace because they're always being criticized. Well, that's your boss. You're not going to change that person.
Right, right.
So you let go, let them be who they are, be the best you can be, and let it go.
Yeah.
And not let that person get you crazy. If you feel like you're going to be fired, you get to look for other things. In other words, there are situations out there that you can make choices for yourself, but there are other situations, usually other people, We can't control other people. We can't control anything but our own thoughts and actions.
Right.
And feelings.
Right.
So that's letting go. Sometimes God, if we're so inclined to believe in a higher power, which I am, we get to just allow God, Hashem, whoever, to go forth and create goodness in our lives or not, or teach us lessons.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I couldn't agree more, I guess, I get a lot of emails from listeners, and a lot of it revolves around them feeling stuck, almost like they're stuck in a certain, spot in their life.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get a lot of emails from people saying, how do I get from where I am to where I want to be? And we've talked about this before, right? We've talked about this before, and I've read you a couple emails. But what's interesting is, shifting the mindset from where you are to where you want to be. The question is, how do you get there? And it's by creating, here's a little paradox, it's almost like creating the illusion within the illusion that you already that you already have whatever it is that you're wanting. So if it's, let's just say, a big pile of money. If it's a big pile of money, then essentially to move towards that big pile of money, you need to feel the big, you need to feel as if you have it available to you, right? You can't beat the drum and walk the walk of someone that doesn't have money and then say to the universe, okay, I'm ready to receive my big pile of money. You need to feel what it's like to be wealthy before you can actually receive your wealth. Or you need to be in a state of non-resistance with receiving wealth, right?
I agree with you. And that's the Esther Hicks kind of theory, too, is, when you start fearing and holding on and being miserly and, oh, my God, what's going to happen and this and that, you start tightening up and it makes you stressed and it makes other people stressed. And then you worry more about not getting it. And, as you said, energetically, that may really self-destruct your ability to get what you want, because you're not coming from an allowing, I know that I can do this place. You're coming from a fear, oh, my God, the world's so tough and horrible, and I've got to get my share.
Right. Exactly. As if there's a finite amount, which there is.
Yeah.
Which we've learned through, certain teachings that everything, the amount of anything on the planet is just, believe this or not, ladies and gentlemen, at least this is what I've come to understand, is every resource on the planet is not finite. The resources on the planet manifest in correlation to the collective asking for those resources. So the more people that embody this planet, the more resources are manifested through the planet, right? The more resources the planet provides. So I read this in a really wonderful book. If man is still mining gold for currency, at the time when all the gold of the earth is supposedly, at least the reachable gold of the earth is supposedly all dug up. If there is still a collective demand for the metal, then there will be a collective return for the metal. There will be pockets and there will be resources for gold that will manifest, or that people will find that they never knew were available, right, in certain areas. And what I'm saying is, if there is a collective asking for it, there is always enough resources in the universe for the planet to provide whatever the collective is asking for, whether it be water, food, currency, whatever it is. There's always enough. And that's what I feel like our society has gotten so caught up on is thinking that there's this finite amount of resources and everybody has to get their fair share. And if they don't, then they're going to be out, you know?
Right.
They're going to be out. They're going to be out their fair share. So.
Right. It's this clamoring to get, I've got to get mine. It's, you know, people are trampling over each other psychologically and physically, and it's fear-based, and it's really an icky place to be to live that way, you know, all the time.
Totally.
Psychological jargon, icky. It's icky.
Yeah. And I would almost, even if, you know, I've gotten to the point and I've had enough experiences in my life to show me that I, even if I didn't fully, because it's a lot to just believe in, you know, it's a lot to just put your faith into and say, okay, the universe will take care of it as long as I believe that it will be there. That's a huge jump to make from, you know, when you're used to being in control of everything and making sure that it comes according to plan versus letting go and letting God. But what I've realized is if you're dealing with a shitty situation or you're in an experience or a couple experiences or situations that you don't wish to be in, or you see another situation that you would feel better in.
Right.
I've learned that even if you don't necessarily believe that it's going to yield you something better in that moment, it's a wiser choice to even convince yourself, almost, if you don't believe in it, then just lie to yourself.
Right.
Because it just feels so much better to give in to the fact that everything's going to be okay versus focusing so intently on what's going wrong.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. So if we can find a way to not be as self-judgmental, but that's also the most difficult thing. You know, we're constantly judging ourselves.
Right.
How we act to people, the way we look to ourselves, the way we act to ourselves. I mean, we're constantly judging ourselves. So there's multiple layers you got to peel back to get to the center of the onion, you know?
Yep. It's so true. But it's really true. There are multiple layers.
So what do you...
No, I have... Yeah.
No. You go, Doc.
No, I just... Now, on the other side of that is, you know, we let go, let God, as you say. We try to allow, and just there are certain things. You know, I want to share with you that there are some people who I see in my practice who feel that the world out there has it out for them.
Right.
Oh, life's so hard. My relatives are so horrible. Somebody hit me in the car. Yeah, that sucks.
They're victims.
We all have that. They're victims.
It's victim consciousness.
See, I want people to let go and let God. I want people to allow things that they can't control. But I want them to also understand that much of this stuff, and you may disagree with me, Dave, but much of this stuff is not blaming others. Yes, somebody wasn't paying attention and they ran a red light. The world is not out to get you, is my point.
Of course not.
You know, just my luck. I have so many patients who say, oh, just my luck.
Right.
I got hit. Just my luck.
Just my
luck. I have to pay more for rent. Just my luck. You know, whatever. It's like, okay, you can go there. You can say you're a victim. But on some level, we have to just accept that things happen, take responsibility, and it's about the way we cope with stuff that we're not expecting. That's what it's about, is how best do we cope with those unexpected situations?
Yes.
Not, I'm a victim and everyone's out to get me. I have a patient who's convinced that he has bad karma. He has an illness. You know, but it's curable.
Right.
But he's got to take care of himself. And he's convinced, and, you know, he's had a few bad things happen. He couldn't work for a while. so he wasn't getting income. But he did get income from other sources, which is good.
Right.
But he's convinced that he has bad karma from another life.
Right.
Now, that's a belief, and I respect that.
Right.
I respect that. But why give up and say, wow, I guess I'm just doomed to have bad karma from another life, and I'm just going to, woe is me, I have bad karma, I have no control, and I'm going to be sad all the time. Again,
maybe you're
sacrificing. You do believe in bad karma,
yeah.
But make the best of your life.
Exactly.
You can. Make the wisest choices. Take care of your illness. Take care of yourself. Look for less stressful work.
Right.
You take charge of what you can do, and don't pull back like a victim that... I mean, truly, if he believes that there's karma, some people really do, and I get that, and that's fine, I respect that. But you can't just give up in this life. I think it would be a cosmic joke of if there is a real God out there controlling things, Hashem, whatever. I think it would be a cosmic joke if we had to pay off karma in a now consciousness, and we're trying to live our lives and be happy, and we have no idea what we're paying off. I mean, that to me just doesn't make sense.
Right,
but that's
right,
my belief.
Right, right.
That's my belief. I think it would be a very cruel joke of someone, of the source, who's running our lives. But again, I respect people who have that. But if they do believe that, they've got to take responsibility for what they can change and not just give up.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And I think that the biggest hurdle for people is getting into that state where they can give up the shitty feelings, you know?
Yeah.
If they can give up the feelings of
right.
You know, and just just a drought of energy and almost like, you know...
Right.
A lot of people, and no, you're absolutely right. I think that if you take responsibility for what you believe, then you empower yourself, right? If you take responsibility for what you believe and the things that you believe in, then all of a sudden you're empowering yourself because you go from being the victim of something to the creator of something. Even if it's the creator of something you didn't want, you're still creator. You're still creating life. You're still vibrating towards experiences. You're still asking for things on a subconscious and, if you're aware of it, conscious level. So when if you are someone that believes that you're paying off bad karma from a previous life, you know, take responsibility for that belief, and then I would ask myself, how is this belief serving me? And could I live successfully changing my belief and thinking otherwise? Mm-hmm. If I can, then maybe I should start moving towards that, only if it will make me feel better. Or maybe the idea of paying off karmic debt comforts me for some reason, you know. Maybe it's my reason for why.
An excuse.
Exactly. It gives me an excuse to feel okay about why all these bad things happen, right? Because well, I'm paying off karmic debt. Okay.
Exactly.
That's fine, you know. Or it's freedom of choice of thought and freedom to take responsibility or not to take responsibility. And I have to say that through my teachings, through what I've learned, I would say that it's very paradoxical in the sense of to the one that is living the experience in the moment, it is so much easier to blame it on an outside source, right?
Yes.
Whether it be frustration, depression, anger. Whatever it is, we all have these emotions, right? And it's not bad to have these emotions. It's very healthy to have these emotions, right? Because when you have these emotions, it teaches you that you have the ability to, you know, do whatever it takes, whether you need to see a therapist and you truly, you know, and the antidepressants will really help you, right? Or or whether it's just changing a couple of things that you think, changing your mindset, no matter what approach you take, as long as it's not self-destructive, right?
Yeah.
Do that approach to get you into a better feeling place, and then once you're in a better feeling place, you can start thinking a little better. The what you think and how you feel go hand in hand, right? So if
yes,
you can
absolutely,
if you can pivot yourself to feel better, then you're going to pivot yourself to think better. Or you can go vice versa. If you pivot yourself to think better, then you will inevitably pull yourself to feel better. So
Right. I agree.
It's just about, so the paradox is when you're living it, it's much easier to give your power to something else because that's, so you're not the reason why the bad stuff is happening, right? Who wants to take responsibility for bad things happening to them, right? But when you do, when you do take the responsibility for it, you ultimately empower yourself to where you then have the choice whether to experience this or not to experience this because you've chosen to take responsibility. So that's the little catch. That's the little catch 22. That's why they say sometimes the hardest decision is the best one, right?
Because, yes.
Because you're fine.
Yes.
You're
kinda... And some of the best decisions are not to do anything at all, or some of the best decisions are not to take something offered because it may not be right for you.
Yes.
And you could be doing it out of desperation or... You know, you have to just kind of take responsibility for defining what you want and trying to go for that and making yourself a little happier. And sometimes, again, stuff happens. Sometimes we're stuck in jobs and we do have to deal with a really difficult boss until we can find another job.
Right.
We're stuck in relationships that may have not been working out, and we're really having problems. We're not happy with them. We've tried for a long time to try to change that person or get them to hear us what we need, but they're not changing. So we get to change. We get to make choices.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's when it's difficult to make change, but we get freedom and the freedom to make our own choices. It's very uneasy sometimes to be out of a job. I'd always say look for another job first if you can.
Right.
But if it's killing you and your, you know, blood pressure is going up, you're getting ill because you're so stressed, you've got to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Same thing in a relationship, you know.
Absolutely.
If someone's being cruel or uncaring or unloving and it's overwhelming to you, you've got to say, I'm not willing to do this the rest of my life.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's more, so this show, it did revolve around, you know, where's that line between taking responsibility and then just letting go and letting God. But I think that we've also run into another aspect which ties into this, and it's taking responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's knowing that you have the power. And I guess that's almost one and the same thing. Taking responsibility and knowing you have the power is the exact same thing. It's just said in a different way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Taking
exactly.
Go on. Tell me.
No, and we do, again, we do get to, you know, have the power to make our own choices. And here's the important thing. Not all of our choices to make changes are going to be the right ones.
Of course.
We make mistakes. I always tell people who have a tendency to be more impulsive to slow down and really think about what they want to do to change, make some plans about things, whether it's the job or relationship or financial issues, loaning money to a relative who's, you know, whatever it may be. I always say, take your time and think about the change before you do something impulsive. Now, if we do take our time and we make a decision and we do something and it doesn't turn out right for us, that's what life's lessons are about. We do make mistakes. We all say things we regret. We all come off sometimes goofy in situations. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. We all do dumb stuff. No one, you know, goes through life without being made fun of, without being unloved, without being ridiculed, without making mistakes. And if you do, you must be a blessed light being who doesn't get affected by life.
Yeah, very true. Very.
I don't know
true.
Anyone like that.
It's so very true.
It's about learning through our, oops, I shouldn't have done that, stop kicking yourself. Stop beating yourself up, everybody, for making wrong decisions. Stop, I shoulda, coulda.
And I would even...
No.
Yeah.
I always say, this is where you were at the time. This
yes.
is all you were capable of deciding on.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you were not psychic necessarily about the outcome.
Right.
But
right.
it wasn't going to work out. So you switch jobs. And you have an even worse boss.
Right.
You have to work 10 hours a day, and you don't get overtime.
Right.
So you made a decision that was based on fear or impulse or whatever, or even time spent really thinking about it,
yeah.
because the money was a little bit better. So good for you. You wanted a change, you made a change, but you learned this wasn't a good decision, possibly. The only good part about it was you learned what you don't want.
Right.
So... take your mistakes. Don't beat yourself up. That, I think that's one of the worst things that I experience every day with patients in therapy.
That they just beat themselves up.
Always beat themselves up.
Yeah. And I would even say, I would even go to say, that there is no mistakes. You know, I would even go to say that, you know, when you say, oh, it's okay if you make mistakes, those choices that you made, which led you to something that you don't want, that's not even a mistake. I wouldn't even consider that a mistake because
right.
it taught you what you don't want to do. And this is something that I keep reminding myself and that I keep learning, is regardless of whether you regret the decision to take that action or not, or whether you're happy with the decision, that decision and that action led you to defining more of what it is that you do want, right? So if you can define more of what it is that you do want through what you don't want, then you're still doing yourself a great service because...
right.
You're still sifting through the contrast, right? We understand that the contrast is the things that we don't like to, that we don't necessarily enjoy, that we don't like to saturate ourselves in, versus the things that we do like to saturate ourselves in. And the more that we focus on, when something bad happens, just like you said, Doc, it's not about. It's not about what happens. It's about how you respond to what happens. Because
mm-hmm.
how you respond to what happens is defines what happens next. You know,
right?
So if
right.
we can respond to what happens in a positive, constructive way,
yeah,
then you know we'll really change what we start attracting to ourselves.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. It's true. And, you know, I know you're in the whole high vibration and attraction and the law of attraction, and I really respect that. And I think sort of that's a cool way of looking at things. It's like if we have people in our lives who are not really good, loving people or not honest people or not, we kind of have to look at, wow, how did I attract that person? Or...
yes.
Is it one of those things to where stuff happens, we need to learn lessons from people who hurt us, and maybe I kind of can't take full responsibility. They just came in my life to teach me a lesson that there are some mean people who are going to hurt us and that I don't want to be with those kind of people.
Yes, yes. That's very true.
Now on another, you know, level, you can't be... paranoid. Oh my God, how's this person going to serve me?
Right.
How am I going to, you know, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to do that? You can't be paranoid when you meet new people or go into new job situations or start dating people or start to, you can't be paranoid. I mean, there's a difference between having your, you know, as you call it, RF shield or your boundaries up and just being cautious and being paranoid that people are out there. Somebody I know is probably going to hurt me.
Yes.
You know, I have a lot of people like that too. They avoid getting involved in anything.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
or in a relationship. They can't do commitment. They can't commit to a job. They can't commit to anything because they're so worried. They're so overly paranoid because bad things have happened in the past. And, oh, my God, what if that happens again? So what if?
Right.
Oh, well, it's a life lesson. Move on. It hurts. It doesn't feel good. You're out of money for a little while. You're alone for a while.
Right.
But this is part of the richness of the human experience, if you look at it that way.
It's very true. That's very, very true. Doc, you're such an enlightening individual.
Oh,
I just love listening
Dave.
To you. I just love everything you have to say. It's so powerful. It really
well,
is.
Thank you.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I think that, you know, if we just were to keep that mindset active, then the world would be a much different place. If everybody kind of resonated on a really deep and powerful level with that and followed through with it, you know, not just said, oh yeah, that sounds good, but then went back to what they are traditionally used to. But if they actually took this as a huge positive and said, well, no matter what's happening in my life, it's defining for me more of what I do want through the power of what I don't want. So, you know, it's almost like there's no sense in dissecting the situation. It's almost like there's no point in, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how this happened, why this happened, you know, who is responsible for this? How can we change what already happened? No, that's not
right.
That's not the way we do it. We do it by shifting in the now towards where we want to be. So, you know, we just pivot our thoughts in a more effortlessly kind way to ourselves and effortlessly kind. You know, you don't want to, as another thing that Abe says, which is really, really beautiful, Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks, she talks about not, as you said, not beating up on yourself, you know?
Right.
You know, but also letting yourself, climbing the emotional scale. So it's basically, you know, you can't go from hatred to love, you know?
Right.
If you're in a hatred consciousness, the climbing the scale, and the first time I heard this, I was really thrown off. I was like, wait, what? Like, that makes no sense. Like, you want to get happy, right? But that's not how it works. You actually have to climb this emotional ladder. And
right.
You have to go, if you're in hatred, which is the bottom of the scale, right? From hatred, you go to anger, or from hatred, you go to resentment, right? And then from resentment, you go to anger. You're climbing up, right? You're getting less hateful, less resentful, even though you're still in the resentful kind of angry category of the emotional scale. You're climbing up it. So you go from hatred to resentment to anger to frustration. And then eventually, you know, now you've gone from hatred to frustration. And then once you're at frustration, you can kind of ease your way into a neutral state. So
right.
And now you're not frustrated. You're just kind of whatever. And then you can you can go from neutral.
And how do we do that? We become aware of our feelings when we're feeling it.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The worst stage is, you know, complete anger.
Yes.
Okay? I'm angry. Why am I angry? Let's really get down deep. Why am I angry? When we accept and understand how we're feeling, you know, if we don't have blind rage, some people have blind rage, as they call it, and they can't snap themselves out of these, you know, explosive, they have like an explosive anger disorder now.
Yeah.
They can't snap themselves out of these things, then they need to look at really serious, you know, ways of thinking about how they think and how they feel and stopping that impulse. But you're right, coming down the scale to getting better and better and better, it's like titrating down from a drug you don't want to be on, or a medication, rather.
Very true.
You got to go slow.
Very
because
true.
Your body's adapting to that slow elimination of it, not all of a sudden pulling it away and going through, unless you're a serious drug addict, you know, going through withdrawal.
Very true. Very true.
Because it's really messing up your health. But what I'm talking about emotionally, sometimes like you said, we can't flip the switch and go from anger, hate, resentment to life's
jolly,
great and I'm a happy guy.
Exactly. Everything's great. No, you need to step by step climb the scale.
Right.
And
you notice it. Yes.
Yeah,
and you
big
get
time.
Better. You feel better. It's like, okay, well, I'm frustrated today. Why am I frustrated? Not as angry as I was at this person.
Right.
But I'm frustrated because they're still doing this. Now, why am I frustrated? Because I need to control them. Because
right.
I need to, I have these issues with feeling not high self-esteem, and they hurt my feelings a lot.
Right.
Is it about, let me explore this. So every step of the way is look at why you're feeling what you're feeling and define it. I'm feeling a little less frustrated today because I've realized that this is my issue of low self-esteem and abandonment. They're
exactly.
pulling away or they're not doing things that are up to my standards to love me, but that's all they can do. So I have to realize rationally that why am I getting frustrated?
Right.
Yes, I have hurt. I have low self-esteem. So I get it. So I'm going to just stay here at less frustration because I know it's sort of my stuff. Or they're not capable of giving me what I want. So I got to realize that. And do I want to be with this person? Do I want to be in this job?
Right.
Yeah.
You just got to ask yourself, you got to just define
yeah.
for yourself what it is
but
that brings
slowly,
you to.
Slowly moving up that ladder to where you're going, okay, this person did the same thing to me, but it's not hurting as much anymore because, and I'm not angry.
Right.
I'm a little hurt because
right.
I'm realizing that they're not hearing me.
Right.
And I'm still raw. I still have these old self-esteem issues, but it's my stuff. And I have to learn how to like me. But so you move up the scale again with self-awareness and defining how you're feeling
exactly.
and why you're feeling.
Exactly.
Putting words to it. Putting, you know,
right.
lean into it. And in
right.
pain.
Right. So, you know, another thing is you don't want to stay too long on you know, if you've gone from hatred to resentment, you don't want to stay in resentment for another week. You know, you want to do your best to get out of
right.
get out of resentment into anger, and then out of anger into kind of just a neutral feeling, and then eventually,
right.
you know, from neutral into, you know, a little joy, and then into a little
right.
greater joy, and then excitement, and then now you're flying, as Esther says, flying on the high disc, right? Flying on
and
the
everybody
high
has their own. You're right, Dave.
Vibration.
Everybody
disc.
Has their own pace, though. You know, some people come to me and they say, "I want to feel better in 2 weeks." Well, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll help you feel better today by spending an hour with you. But you've got to work on some things because it may not be in 2 weeks. You got a lot of deep stuff going on that you have never looked at from your childhood.
Yeah.
And we need you to get okay with you and forgive those in your life. That don't take 2 weeks. That's like a friend of mine from the Bronx says, that don't take a week. That takes months.
Mm-hmm.
Of work,
yeah.
maybe years.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the severity of the damage emotionally.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, powerful stuff, Doc. Really powerful stuff. Totally.
Well, you know, it's just what I've seen throughout the years working with people and learned, you know, on my own through personal experience. You know, so you're welcome, and I'm thrilled to try to share any. You know, help that I can with your listeners. You know, I'm here to.
I've gotten listeners email me before and saying that they love you. Dr. Michelle is just awesome. You know,
aww,
that's
thanks,
why that's buddy. Why I love having you on the show, and that's why I ask you to come on the show often. But I just
it's my pleasure. I'm doing my job. See, that makes me feel good because I'm doing my job.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I think that, you know, if. Little by little by little, if we could just, it's, and I'm learning this too, you know, each week on the show, I can only talk about what's a reflection of me as well, you know, so, because that's all I can relate to is my life. That's why I have you come on the show and other really, you know, wise, influential people come on the show, because I love getting other perspectives, other experiences, you know, to share. But what I think, you know, I've learned lately is it's not about being the joyful person all the time, right? It's not about necessarily being this a super ecstatic, happy guy 24/7, or if you're a girl, happy girl 24. It's not about that, right? What it's about is just making yourself maintain a feeling of feeling good, right? It's not about this up and down roller coaster of, oh, now I feel great, now I feel like shit, now I feel great. Now it's like, you know, it's a, when you get into this kind of state of consciousness of when you're teaching yourself how to be a deliberate creator and a deliberate thinker and a deliberate pivoter of energy, it can get difficult because you get really sensitive to things, you get really empathetic to things and people, and your life starts to reveal to you, you know, things that have been buried, and because you're getting true with yourself, you're getting real, you know, and you're kind of cleaning all the bullshit away and just really feeling who you are as a person, which therefore can bring up to the surface a lot of things that you necessarily haven't dealt with, didn't want to deal with, so you shoved down and suppressed, but now you have to deal with them because they're coming to surface. I was just going to say, you know, what it is coming to terms and getting on with whatever these things are and getting on a steady emotional state, you know, getting on a steady, like, flowing emotional state of kind of always always reaching for a better thought and always kind of riding out when you do feel good and then seeing if you can, how long you can maintain feeling good and just seeing if you can, you know, versus, okay, oh, this, that was, you know, I'll listen to an Abe tape sometime, I'll listen to, you know, a speaker or whatever, you know, a tape of some sorts, even nice meditational music, or I'll do some yoga or I'll go on a jog and I'll get some endorphins released and then all of a sudden I'll feel really, really great. I'll just feel like I'll feel so high, a natural high, of course, you know, like just endorphins high, and I'll feel high from feeling like I am a creator of creation. I feel my extension to the universe, you know? So it's this really, really beautiful feeling, but it only lasts for as long as I can hold on to the feeling. You know, it only lasts for as long as I allow it. But then it kind of crashes, and it's almost like because I felt so good, it's difficult to maintain, you know, a feeling that is equivalent or somewhat equivalent to that good feeling. So even when I just feel normal, I feel less than good because I just felt so great, you know. So it's like, how do you maintain this teeter-totter of dealing with life, you know, dealing with the ups and downs of life, seeing, you know, the experiences and having difficult experiences and still maintaining a happy state of consciousness. That's the key right there, you know, is handling it in a positive way. And that's where Dr. Michelle comes in.
Thank you, Dave. No, you're so right. You have such good points. You really do.
Well, they're inspired by you.
Thank you.
It's very true.
So why don't you come into my office and take over for me for a couple of weeks?
Well, hey, maybe eventually down the line. But right now you're the best psychologist on the planet. So.
Oh, thanks, Dave. See, that's why I call you, so I can hear these things.
you don't need to call me for that. I tell you that off the air anyway. It's very true. But Doc, I want to thank you once again for coming on the show. It's always such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun and pleasurable to be able to talk with you. You're so you're such a good host, and you're so, you know, for being as young as you are, you really are mature.
Thanks, Doc.
I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you. We all appreciate you. The listeners clearly appreciate you. And make sure everyone to check out On the Couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11 a.m. Once again, that's Dr. Michelle. That's
Pacific
Channel 1.
Standard Time.
Yeah, Pacific Standard. Exactly. Pacific Standard Time. Channel 1.
Yeah.
We love you, Doc, and we will talk to you very soon, and I'll be tuning in this Friday.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Always love. Thank you, Doc. Thanks for everything. So, once again, lovers and friends. I appreciate you wholeheartedly. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Make sure to like us on Twitter. Follow us, Good Vibe Station. That's at Good Vibe Station. We love you guys with all of our hearts, and we will see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.